This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You might assume we're both good at presenting to a live audience because of this podcast. But at the end of the day, when we record, it really feels like we're just talking to one another. Presenting information in person in a formal setting to a large audience is something that still makes us really nervous. To prepare for a live speaking event we're hosting together, we turned to our masterclass subscription to not only refine our presentation skills, but to build our confidence in a different kind of public speaking capacity. Between Robin Roberts, Hillary Clinton, and Kevin Hart's expertise, our confidence skyrocketed. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master negotiate with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or plan your dream wedding with celebrity event planner Mindy Wise, Masterclass has you covered. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like our latest aha moments from Robin Roberts' Effective and Authentic Communication class that we watched before our event presentation. She taught us how to establish a genuine connection with the audience from the start. I'll always be a little nervous before presenting, but Masterclass prepared us in a way that dialed my nerves down and gave me tools to ground myself. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 50% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Welcome back to another episode of Shrink Chicks.
Take a seat on our virtual therapy couch and get ready to learn all about, well, you.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're both licensed marriage and family therapists and relationship experts. We're the owners and founders of The Therapy Group, a nationwide psychotherapy practice with down-to-earth therapists just like us.
Your session is starting, so get ready to know yourself and grow yourself.
Hey!
Hi!
How you doing, baby?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
You know what? Pretty good.
Your hair looks gorgeous.
There's like this one little piece here. You know, you just
honestly,
like miss one and I keep seeing it in the film.
It's gorgeous. I feel that where you like see it. No one notices.
I'm like, fuck, none of this matters.
None of it matters.
Nothing matters.
Wait, but this matters. This topic matters.
This question is very funny, though.
Let me hear.
Listener Haley wrote in. She said, if you had to play in a pro sporting event with no prior experience, which would it be? That is such a funny question,
Such a good question.
You don't get to pick tennis because you already play tennis, for the record.
It would definitely not be tennis.
Okay.
I'm going to talk through this with you. Okay, ready? It would definitely be like a team sport.
No.
Because you wouldn't be able to tell. You know, I could hide in other people.
Yeah, but then you're disappointing other people. That's horrible.
Oh, well, no, you're
like at the Olympics and you fuck up their team.
But think about, yeah, that's fair. But think about like if all of the attention was on you as like if you're playing tennis.
That's fine. I have no shame. I'd rather just take myself down.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Yeah. I would rather hide in other people. This really fits with our personalities.
Yes.
Also, it brings me to a stupid story. When you know when you were in elementary school, maybe, and they would ask if you wanted to like play instruments? Did that happen with you?
Yes.
So
flute.
I also played the flute.
Of course.
I played the violin and I played the flute.
Classy.
I just really thought it was very cool. And it is very cool to be able to play an instrument, but it's not, I feel like it's like speaking a language. You either pick it up very quickly or you don't.
Yes.
I am not an instrument girl. Just did not pick it up. I did not practice. I wasn't into it. But so when it came time for the, when I was playing violin.
No.
I just would pretend like I was moving like the bow and I would just like move the bow with everyone else to pretend.
Did anyone catch you?
No one knew.
So now I sort of understand where you're coming from with the team sport thing.
Exactly. Like that's kind of how.
Okay. So what sport? You have to choose the team sport.
Does dance count?
Jen, you're such a bad dancer.
Excuse me. I was on a hip hop competition team.
I understand. And also, I've seen your moves. So I'm just saying.
Listen, I'm going to debate
call you
that.
Asparagus Jen for a reason.
Yeah, I know. Like, listen, I can't help my lanky limbs. Okay. Can't help them. It's just something that comes natural. But I think depending on what type of dance you're doing, mm-hmm. it might really enhance my dance moves.
I've tried to learn a TikTok dance with you as well.
Yeah, that was horrible. That went horribly.
The dance team is your choice.
Yeah, because then you can hide in the back.
Yeah, I think I'd go for bowling.
We're picking? Like, but I don't know if the person who asked this question was expecting for us to pick these sports.
I definitely would not do anything that's a team sport. And I believe bowling is not, correct?
No, definitely a team sport.
Oh, it is. Okay, never mind.
I think
I
maybe
pick
it can be.
Darts? Like, I would pick something that, like, I could, because here's the thing, I'm going down no matter what. I just don't want to take anyone down with me.
Maybe I would do synchronized swimming. You just stick your legs up in the air and wave them around and drown.
It would be very clear how unsynchronized it was once you started swimming. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And listen, here's the reason why I wouldn't do a team sport is guilt. Mm. And today's episode is about guilt.
So good. Yes. I would just live with my guilt.
Listen, guilt is a pervasive emotion for me.
Oh, tell me.
Guilt is something I feel so easily.
Mm. Do you think you have guilt proneness?
I have guilt proneness. Yes. Okay. So somebody wrote in, let's start it off. Why is guilt such an easily felt emotion for me? Why is it my go-to?
The perpetual feeling of guilt is known as guilt proneness. For people who experience guilt proneness, they're believed to have a strong connection with their own and others' emotions. So you might be someone who's very connected to your emotional world. Research actually suggests that guilt proneness may be related to empathy as well as trustworthiness. So if you are this person, guilt might come up often for you. But I think it's important to decipher between the two categories of guilt. Mm-hmm. One of them being healthy, appropriate guilt, right? So it's a feeling of guilt for a justifiable.
I kill someone.
Right. You should feel guilt, right?
Reasonable.
For a justifiable reason. It's our conscience telling us that maybe we've done something wrong, and it stops us from repeating or making mistakes. So it gives us the opportunity to learn and change our behavior in the future. So there is a reason as human beings why guilt is built into our emotional system, because it helps us learn from our mistakes. It can be very useful. On the other hand, irrational guilt is when we mistakenly assume responsibility for a situation or overestimate the suffering caused to another person and how damaging that suffering mm-hmm. is if we don't take steps to resolve it. So an irrational guilt is linked to anxiety, depression, dysphoria, OCD, PTSD. So there's a lot of links to irrational guilt. There's also childhood underpinnings of that if guilt was really brought into the conversation with our families. And if you have this persistent and excessive guilt, it may be contributing to low self-esteem for you, feeling like you're not a good person, excessively worrying about other people's perceptions, a sensitivity to criticism, weak or poor boundaries, a betrayal of personal values or core beliefs, and just feeling overwhelmed by simple decisions.
So there's another part of like feeling, like sometimes like feeling a sense of wrongdoing. So people that have like very big moral compasses, you're someone who like has like a very high moral compass or is very into morals and ethics, you're probably going to feel guilty more. Or if you had a household where guilt was used in a communication method. So if you have been told that it's bad to be loud or opinionated, it might be that you feel really wrong and guilty if you speak up in a meeting or if you have a different opinion than somebody, any of these things. So let's say it's like your default reaction, right? So somebody wrote in and said, guilt feels like my default reaction. How do I accept I'm doing enough as a mom, wife, and a person? So the first question I'm going to ask is, what would you mean by quote unquote doing enough? What are you expecting from yourself internally? And what messages are you receiving externally? Because if you have this idea, you have an expectation for yourself. I should have dinner on the table 7 nights a week. And then you only have it 2. You're probably going to feel guilty for being a bad mom.
She's using quotes with her hands if you're not watching this on YouTube.
Oh, sorry. If you feel like being quote unquote a bad mom.
But I think that brings up a really good point that we don't necessarily bring into the conversation enough when we talk about guilt is expectations of ourselves and where those expectations have developed from. You know, you hear a lot about guilt playing a role when you grew up in maybe a very religious environment where maybe you were taught that certain very human things, sexual desires, urges, sexual preferences are quote unquote bad in some way, that you're doing something wrong. And you develop this sense of, I am bad for being me, right? I'm doing something wrong because of this expectation I have developed about who I'm supposed to be. And, you know, when we talk about this in terms of being a mom, you hear a lot about mom guilt of have this expectation of myself, of how I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing. And if I'm not meeting that, then I feel guilt. I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I'm hurting my child in some way. When I wonder if you can look at the expectations that you have developed for yourself about who you're supposed to be and ask yourself, is this actually realistic? Mm-hmm. Does this actually make sense? And if I'm not meeting this, does it mean I'm doing something bad?
Anyone else feeling like the mental load of making dinner, the planning, the shopping, the prep, figuring out the timing? It's a little heavy to carry, huh? Same. That's why I am so grateful for Hungry Root. The food quality, simple recipes, true tastiness, and delivery right to my door is truly a game changer. When getting started, you take a fun, short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know you, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use, so you can sit back, relax, and offload the many steps of meal planning. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins, supplements, much more. My favorite item from my latest box was the honey citrus chopped salad, lemon pepper chicken, and the 4-cheese tortellini. You gotta try it for yourself. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Did you know that billions of plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles end up in landfills every year? I used to contribute to that waste, constantly buying single-use plastic cleaning products without giving it much thought. But then I discovered Blue Land, and it has been a game changer. Blue Land has helped me eliminate the need for single-use plastic and the products I reach for the most. They are reinventing cleaning essentials. Their approach is simple yet revolutionary. Refillable cleaning products with a sleek design that not only looks great on your counter, but also reduces plastic waste significantly. What I love most is the convenience. convenience. With Blueland, I never worry about running out of cleaning supplies or lugging bulky bottles from the store. From hand soap to toilet bowl cleaner to laundry tablets that each smell incredible, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. I was blown away when I received my first Blueland order. I immediately filled the bottles with water and their tablets, which was so easy to try everything out. And the ingredients are clean, the scents are refreshing, and the packaging is just so cute. Blueland is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine. If you're ready to make a positive change for the planet without sacrificing cleanliness or convenience, Blueland has you covered. Blueland has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
There's such an overlap between rigidity and guilt.
Yeah.
Right. Because I even think about it in terms of like diet culture, right? Like how people will be like, oh, well, I feel guilty after I ate. If you feel guilty because you ate something, if you should feel guilty as you're sitting at a restaurant, you walk up to someone else's plate and you eat off theirs. That's weird. Don't be doing that. You should feel a little weird about that, man. It's bad eating. So you take food off of someone else's plate.
I do that every time I go to a restaurant. You don't.
Well, we have to talk about that, and you should feel guilty,
right?
So, I like, don't. That's an example of like bad eating. Don't right. do that.
Right.
But besides that, everything else is good. But the amount you hear people talk about guilt with food.
Mm.
I ate too many carbs. I did this. I did that. There was too much sugar. Right. That's the rigidity of diet culture. I didn't get to my workout. I feel really guilty. Why do you think you have to work out every single day? If it feels great, that's great. But also if it's healthy, that means you can take days off. And so I think that there's this massive overlap with rigidity and guilt.
Mm. And which actually brings me to a really good point, because guilt usually comes up when you act or think in a way that goes against your beliefs, your family values, social norms, workplace ethics. So within some of those categories, if you're very rigid in your beliefs, if you're very rigid in this is how it's supposed to be, then it makes a lot of sense that guilt would come up more often, because you have no flexibility in your thinking around some of these things. You're often saying to yourself, oh, I'm bad because I did not fit into this category. Absolutely. I've done something wrong.
So then let's talk about a lot of people asked about, how do you not feel guilty about other people's feelings? There were so many variations of this question, right? So somebody else also wrote out like, am I really not responsible for people's feelings? Like that, I do not understand. How do I navigate feeling guilty with any boundaries? And it's the same sort of question, right?
Yeah.
So I think that the thing we're talking about is that like somewhere you were taught that it's wrong for other people to feel upset. And you were so uncomfortable in other people's discomfort that you'd rather just take it all on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, at what point did you learn that other people hurting or being upset was bad, problematic, or your fault? Because the reality is even if somebody ends up hurt by our behavior, it does not mean that we caused harm.
Yes.
Those are different things.
Right? Just slap someone in the face.
Causing harm.
Causing harm.
Deliberate.
You should right? feel... You feel guilty.
Yes. Now, if that person's a Nazi, I don't know.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Great point. Great point. Right. I mean, that's where the moral piece comes in, right?
What's the context of the situation going on, right?
Right. Great point.
And the context does matter, right? If I yell at my daughter because she's about to run into the, right? This is every freaking time you're in a parking lot. I'm like, hand on the car. We're in a parking lot, right? I will yell at my daughter when it is safety. That is very different than me coming home after a stressful day at work and me yelling at her just because I'm mad. And so these things, right, should bring up different experiences. I'm not going to ever feel guilty that I yelled at my daughter in a parking lot so that she's safe. I don't give a fuck.
And you know what's interesting, right? So like if you use that example, Millie might cry in both situations.
Yes.
So her reaction might be the same in both situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the question is, how do you not feel guilty about other people's feelings? you have to decipher between, did this fit with my values, my morals as a mother? I want to make sure my daughter is safe.
Yes.
And so me yelling at her in a parking lot, even though she's crying, fit with my values. It made sense to me. At home, if I had a stressful day, I understand that it wasn't about her and it was really about what was going on for me. That doesn't fit with my values.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good question to ask yourself, is that someone else might be upset. Did your actions, what you did, fit with your values?
Yeah. And the same thing, right? And so let's talk about this, because we're obviously, it doesn't seem like we can talk about guilt without talking about boundaries.
Yes.
Because so many people are struggling with guilt around setting boundaries.
Yes.
And once again, this is something to keep in mind. If I am setting a boundary because it is significant for me, it's important for me, that's very different than I'm setting boundaries because I want to hurt you.
Right.
And I've never heard anyone talk about setting a boundary because you want to fuck someone else over.
Right. I don't even know if I would call that a boundary.
No, it's not. Yeah.
It's like a cutoff for us. It's some sort of like manipulation in some way, right? Mm-hmm. Is you're deliberately doing something to hurt someone else or, and here's the thing. And I think when you have a reaction, like let's say, I don't know, someone's calling you nonstop and they're talking to you on the phone and you can never get off the phone. And you have built up this resentment over time. And then you react to them by saying, well, I can't fucking talk to you for this long anymore. And you hang up on them. I wouldn't call that setting a boundary. I would call that having a reaction to the resentment that you've built up over time. So you might have guilt about a reaction that you have. Setting a boundary is saying, hey, listen, you know, at 6 o'clock, I want to be with my family. I can't talk on the phone, or I don't have a lot of space. I don't have a lot of energy to be able to have this conversation. That is setting a boundary.
Yeah.
The person might have a difficult time with that. It might be hard for them because you're changing something up for them. But the way in which you responded, the way in which you set that boundary may fit more with what your values are. And I think oftentimes we confuse boundaries as a level of like separateness from someone else, where you're actually preserving the relationship. You're making moves to actually be more connected to the person so that you don't build up a level of resentment towards them, so that you don't have a reaction that doesn't fit with your values, so that doesn't bring about guilt in the relationship.
Yep. So someone said, how to navigate healing from being raised by parents who use guilt as a weapon. And I also want to speak to people specifically here who grew up with family dysfunction of secret keeping and rigidity of boundaries. So if you grew up in a household where you did not talk about what's happening in your household outside the house, if you do not talk about when mom's having a hard time, if you do not talk about what's going on at home, the idea of setting a boundary or talking or getting help or getting support, it's going to make you feel like you broke a rule. And that's going to make you feel guilty, whether it's healthy or not, right? So sometimes people are like, okay, well, if I feel guilty, I should, right? Because that's what my body's saying, right? So I feel guilty, I must have done something wrong. That is often not the case. But we have been taught that we're doing something wrong. So if you're being raised by parents who use guilt as a weapon, it's going to confuse you with your relationship with guilt.
And the thing that I love that you're talking about, Em, is you may grow up with certain family values, right? Like secret keeping. You get to make the decision as an adult if you want to hold on to those values as an adult. And so what might be confusing about it is that maybe your family had these values. Maybe if there was dysfunction in your family and secret keeping was important, you grew up with this idea that you should hold on to secrets. As an adult, that might no longer fit with the values that you have as an individual. And so that might be really important to ask yourself, like, are there certain values that maybe I'm holding on to from
growing up in my family that are causing me guilt that no longer fit with the values that I want to uphold as an adult in my own life. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good place to start to figure out, what does that look like for me? Is secret keeping something that I felt was healthy? Or do I need to talk to someone? Do I need more support? What kind of values do I want to hold in my own life? And it might help you with the guilt that you feel or the confusion that you feel around guilt, because then you're deciphering what is mine and what was my family's. What did I grow up with?
A really fun fact about me that you might not know is that if I let my hair dry natural, it is a frizzball mess, which is one of the many reasons I absolutely love Prose. I truly never thought that I would be able to embrace my natural hair texture. Ever since I switched to a custom hair routine with Prose, I've noticed so many benefits. Less frizzy hair, yes, but beyond that too. My hair is shinier, healthier, and so much more manageable. Filming the podcast every week makes checking out my hair unavoidable, and I have felt so much more confident on camera thanks to Prose. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. The custom shampoo and conditioner combo, plus the hydrating leave-in conditioner and hair oil, keeps the frizz at bay. It also makes for the smoothest blowout. People keep asking me if I got my hair cut or went to the salon, which is, of course, the highest compliment. Prose isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're certified B Corp cruelty-free and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. They even have a review and refine tool which learns from my feedback and adjusts my formula to keep up with the seasons and changes in my life. I used this feature when I moved my temporary house in New Jersey back to my house post-construction project in Pennsylvania. Environmental factors like water source is something that Prose takes into consideration with their customization. So it was very cool that I had the ability to update my location. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin, and they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/shrinkchicks. So you get a free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/shrinkchicks. That's prose.com/shrinkchicks. I am thrilled that the weather is finally warming up here in Philly. I went to switch out my closet the other day from my fall winter wear to my spring summer wear and noticed that I very much needed a refresh. So thank goodness for Quince that allows me to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I refresh my closet with the high-waisted linen shorts that come in multiple colors and patterns, the comfiest cotton tees, and my latest favorite, the smocked mini dress. And don't miss out on their accessories. Quince has the coolest sunglasses and 14 karat gold jewelry to complete any look. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
A lot of people want to know how to not feel guilty. Every time
we talk about a specific emotion, the question is, how do I not feel this?
Yeah.
And we'll say it again. Any difficult emotion is built within us for a reason, right? There are times in which it overfunctions for us, right? That irrational guilt. And so it's not about not feeling the emotion. It's about when you feel it, what you do with that emotion, right? Can you recognize that it's irrational? Can you recognize that, oh, this doesn't mean I'm bad in some way? Can you recognize that, oh, maybe my expectations for myself are really high and that's why I'm feeling this guilt?
Yeah.
It's not about getting rid of the feeling. It's about developing a tolerance for the feeling and then understanding, well, what do I want to do with this? How can I use this productively? And are there places where guilt is irrational and it's not useful for me? And so what am I going to do with that? How am I going to soothe myself? How am I going to tolerate this feeling? Yeah.
So time and experience. That's what we're talking about. You're going to have to do it a whole bunch of times. a whole bunch of times. And there's still going to be a twing of it. So here's somebody had written, why do I feel guilty when I say no to someone? I want to understand the scenario for you. Let's say you came into this life and you had an older sibling who was sort of difficult, right? And when I say difficult as a baby, I mean, maybe they were colic or maybe they were allergic to things. We're like, I'm not saying babies are bad, but you had, your parents came in and you had a sibling that was more challenging. So you come into this world and babies can like sense this shit. So you somehow come into this world and you're okay sleeping and you don't have colic and you don't have allergies. And then your whole life, your parents praise you for how easy you are. You're so easy. You are such an easy baby. Oh, she's so easy. He's so easy, right? Any of these things, they're so easy. So then at some point you start learning, well, easy is good. Anything else is bad. Being challenging is bad. Being defiant is bad. Speaking up is bad. Being a burden is bad. And so then I say no to someone. All of a sudden, wait a second, I'm not so easy. That must be wrong. So at some point, you learned that that was wrong. And I think you have to say is, one, where did I learn that was wrong? Who taught me that? And what do you feel like it says about you when you say no to someone?
Mm. Oof.
Okay. Are you ready for one?
I'm ready.
Let's talk about guilt versus shame, because people always ask this in, and I know we've talked about it again, but just to remind everyone, shame is I am bad. Guilt is I did bad. Mm. Right? So like shame is the next level down, but it is very, very common that guilt leads you into feeling shame. Oh, do you want me to tell a story?
Please, always.
For the record, somebody from my gym could listen to this. I'm going to tell a story that happened this week at the gym. Someone from my gym could hear this and they might feel bad. Don't fucking feel bad. This is my shit. It's not your shit. Okay, go. So this week at the gym, I, as you may guess, and as you've come to my gym with me, am I maybe a little friendly?
Just a bit.
I talk to everyone. I'm very loud. I have a lot of energy. Usually I've drank in a Celsius before as of my pre-workout. So like I'm there to party. Like I am at the gym for the vibes, man. It's why I don't do well at yoga. Cause I'm like, what are we doing? Partying? So I'm at my gym and I am often talking, fucking around with people, giving trainers a hard time. There was a new trainer this week and our lead trainer, Sally, you know, gets on the mic and she goes, so what do we do when there's a new trainer? And somebody goes, Emily doesn't talk. Listen, they're not wrong. I'm annoying. And for a new trainer, it's already scary. They're already up there. It is. It would be rude if I talked. But I had a moment of complete shame.
Mm.
Complete shame. Everyone thinks I'm annoying. I should never talk again. Right? Like, and it was funny because I was turned around when they said it. I was like, ah! Like, had this like total reaction. But what happened after my reaction that I joked about back was like a total shame spiral.
Yeah.
And part of that was a kid being growing up, a kid with ADHD who definitely talk too much. I said, if I ever had a memoir, it would be called Just Stop Talking. Right?
And mine would be Say Something.
Anything.
Say anything.
And so you have these moments that for a second, I really totally felt like I was a little kid in school getting in trouble again.
Wow. Right. It's like such an activating experience for you.
Now, obviously, the person who said that did not cause me harm.
Right.
Even if that moment my child was hurting, it had nothing to do with the comment. This person was fucking with me just like how I fuck with everyone. That is it. They did not cause me harm by making a joke, even if I felt hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So they now could hear this and be like, oh, feel really guilty. No. This is not guilt for them. And that's what you have to separate is people typically don't make us feel a certain way.
Mm.
But it can activate a big feeling from us.
You know what story I thought you were going to tell?
What? Oh, God.
No, don't worry. You were saying yesterday how someone said to you, so like you just like talk to people when you go in places. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, that's just like who I am. And like in my mind, before you told that story, I was like, oh, I wish I had that quality. You know, and so it's so interesting because that same thing that like it also brings you shame if someone mentions mm-hmm. it
also makes you so approachable and connected mm-hmm. to people. I was out for dinner last night at 9 o'clock because, you know, I eat so late.
I cannot. I am literally getting into bed when Jen is going to dinner.
So I went to dinner. The woman next to me and my husband were sitting at the bar. The woman next to me, like, very clearly wanted to chat. And, like, I was not in a chatty mood.
So I was just should have been sitting next to me.
Sitting like this. And I was, and eventually, like, I opened up and I was, like, chatting with her. It took me, like, a little. So, you know, it takes me, like, a little bit of time to warm up. But I am also thinking at the same time, like, how incredible that is to just have that ability to be so open to the people around you, like complete strangers, where for me, I'm like immediately, if I'm in an environment like that, like there's an immediate wall that comes up, just automatic. And it has nothing to do with like not wanting to connect with people. I think I'm just overstimulated in my environment. So my immediate reaction is to shut down. But I'm getting back to the fact that I thought about you in those moments because I'm like, that is just a personality type. You know, it's just, it's your personality. It's natural. You just immediately talk to anyone. Doesn't matter if you don't know them.
Yeah.
And I see that as such a cool quality to have, just to be that open to people in your environment.
When you were taught that it's bad to be loud, then there's guilt.
Yes.
Right? Especially, I think the other thing is, like, if you are someone who has this pervasive guilt, like you talked about at the beginning, you are like hyper in tune with people, right? So like, let's say I start a conversation with someone and I can tell they're not into it, which like sometimes they're not. Like there's nothing wrong with that. Like you're standing, getting a cup of coffee. I make some comment about like, oh, that looks really good. And they like, don't give me anything back. I have no idea what that person is going through.
Right.
Right. They could have had the worst conversation of their life. They could just need this cup of coffee. They could have been up all night. You know what I mean? Like, I have no effing idea. But there is a thing of like, you feel the person's not interested. And there is a part of you that can go, like, oh, that was wrong that I talked to them.
Mm.
I shouldn't have tried to make conversation. Person probably doesn't care about me very much. They're never thinking about it. They're too in their head about something right. else. But when you've been taught that it's bad or wrong to be loud or outspoken. And like, it's funny because like, I'm very much like my dad. My dad is like, my dad will talk to anyone. Okay, here's an example. For anyone who doesn't know, I live in the same neighborhood as my parents.
Like across the street.
I don't think not across the street. Oh. Four houses down across the street. I don't think I've ever admitted this on the show. And I would also like to say that I moved into the neighborhood first. They moved in afterwards. But it's great. It works out really well. I have an amazing relationship with my parents. My daughter can go right up the street and see them. It's amazing. But here's the funny part. So, okay. So I moved in 2 or 3 years before my parents. We were last week, lots of snow here. We were sledding with a bunch of neighborhood kids. And one of another, you know, family I hadn't met before in the neighborhood, it's a pretty big neighborhood, was like, oh, you're Buck's daughter. And I'm like, oh my God.
Still.
They have lived here for like a year and I am his daughter. But that's because that's who my dad is. I am him so much. He talks to everyone. He's friends with him. He has no idea who they are. Ask him. I could ask him your name and he probably doesn't know. Like, you know, dad just like don't know your friends no matter
yes.
what.
Yes. Yes.
But my mom is incredibly friendly, but she's not as outgoing as me and my dad are. She's way more reserved. So I think you look at your parents and you're like, I want to be like that. And like, there was something that's much safer about not being the outspoken one that yes. I always wish I was more like my mom and less like my dad.
Wow.
And the guilt that comes with being more.
Well, I also think if you... in school, like school's a perfect example. You're taught to be quiet. Mm-hmm. You're taught to hold yourself in, right? And if it comes naturally to you to talk to everyone, to have conversations too, and you're consistently getting scolded for that and told that you're wrong in some way, you're being told that something that comes so naturally to yeah. you is bad. I mean, it's the same thing someone asked. Someone said like, oh, I feel guilty about being an empath. In the same way, right? We grow up in a culture that says if you're too sensitive, there's something wrong, right? Like society's uncomfortable with difficult emotions. So if you're too sensitive and you're expressing that, you're wrong in some way. And so you have these consistent experiences that might tell you that something that comes naturally to you is wrong and you're doing something wrong and you're affecting other people, right? Because you're crying, you're making other people uncomfortable. So that means that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. When this is natural. And so the question is, how do you embrace those things about you? Just because society might be uncomfortable with it, right? Just because society might be pushing you kind of back a little bit, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong or you're doing something wrong or that you're hurting other people. So I think figuring out like where that balance is really important. Like, you're not hurting anyone by talking to them when they're having a bad day.
Yeah. We have to get to Dear MJ, but there is one question I want to answer really fast before that, because I think it's really important. Was somebody talked about guilt after setting boundaries with a parent struggling with alcoholism. I just want to make sure we identify that if there is anyone struggling with alcoholism or addiction, there's going to be some level of codependency. And with codependency, there's going to be guilt and discomfort with boundaries. That is simply part of it. If you're struggling with this, please go to Al-Anon. Please get help for yourself, because that is just going to be part of it. So I just want to say that really fast because I didn't want to ignore that one. Okay, Dear Em and Jen.
Dear Em and Jen, I'm a nurse and I just quit my job due to burnout after 12 years. Quitting almost broke me because of how much my identity is wrapped up in my job. A lot of enmeshment there for sure, LOL. I want to do some work around boundaries, specifically in the workplace, so that I have a healthy foundation prior to starting my next job. Where do I start? And do you have particular guidance for healthcare workers? Enmeshment and guilt are ingrained in the healthcare arena, which makes it extra difficult to honor your own boundaries. Thank you both and your team so much for everything you do. You have taught me and others so much, and you really are appreciated. Thank you for saying that.
God.
Oof. First of all,
yeah,
we appreciate you for the work that you have done over 12 years. It is such a hard profession. I know a lot of people who are in the healthcare industry. I mean, in Philadelphia, there's so many healthcare workers. And I think there is a very specific environment that you are pulled into in order to survive in that job. Mm-hmm. I also think it requires, in a lot of ways, you separating yourself from your own emotional world in order to, once again, get the job done. And I think that that need for that compartmentalizing or separation affects the relationship workplace boundaries, because it keeps you from being able to identify what your boundaries are and be able to set any of those boundaries, because you're having to separate yourself in a lot of ways. So the first thing I would say to you is, I want you to reintegrate yourself with your own boundaries. I want you to start to reintroduce yourself to your own boundaries, to say, okay, how am I feeling in this situation? Start to get closer to the emotions that are coming up when you're in the workplace, because that's something that maybe you've had to separate yourself from. It might come much more naturally to you. And because the more that you understand those feelings, the more you're going to be able to decide, where do I need to set boundaries? What does this look like for me? Without that connection to your own self, your emotional world, it's going to be hard to figure out, well, where do I set these boundaries? What does this look like for me?
Yeah. You know, we have an great episode with Katie Duke, and Katie Duke has an amazing podcast called Bad Decisions. And she is, I believe, a nurse practitioner who went through COVID, put her life at risk every day, and then immediately got laid off. And she talks, I think, a lot very well about just how poorly set up our healthcare system is. So I think one of the things that this person talked about is like where to start and do a particular guide to healthcare workers. I want you to really think about whatever environment you're going to go to next. I don't know if you were in a hospital setting. I don't know if you were in a doctor's office setting. There's so many different settings for healthcare workers. I think you're going to have to be very particular about what you choose next. What do you want your day to look like? Because if you know that the system is already pervasive and broken to make you feel guilty and enmeshed, you're going to have to be very specific and intentional about whatever you choose to do. So one of those is going to be the environment. And one of those is the ability to say no, even when you're being guilted. And that's totally what happens, right? Yes. There's nobody on staff. You have to do this. Listen, I'm sorry. Hire more people.
Yeah,
I have to say no to this. But you are right. I think especially as healthcare workers, I mean, you feel like people are going to die.
Yeah.
If you take a day off.
And another piece is that no one is happy to be there. Like the people that you're working, like no one is happy to be in a hospital, right? Like it's not a choice that they're making.
Yeah.
And I think once again, you suck up all that energy. Like that's hard. And then everyone who's a healthcare worker sucks that up. And then it all comes out in your relationships with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's sometimes where the enmeshment comes from of like, you're almost bonded by that.
I mean, I think healthcare workers are like abused, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yes.
There's a lot of that going on. But, you know, I think there's not a lot of support around it of, well, this is your job. You know, like you just got to suck it up. You chose this. There's not a lot of like validation for, I think, what healthcare workers go through. And I think that it's important for this person to validate their own experience of like, what was this like for me? How did I make, were there certain things that were really difficult for me in this that maybe I couldn't acknowledge when I was in it and now I can? And what do I want to do with that? And as you're saying, what do I want my future to look like? How do I want it to be different?
Yeah. And that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Shrink Chicks.
We'll see you back here next Monday for another session.
In the meantime, if you want a question answered or a topic discussed, follow us on Instagram at Shrink Chicks. And if you're looking to get connected with a therapist like us to start or continue your therapeutic journey, visit thetherapygroup.com. Just fill out a contact form on our website and we will personally match you with one of our amazing therapists.
Also, if you'd be so kind, we'd love a rating review and for you to share with a friend or an enemy or a mother-in-law. Honestly, whoever needs it, so that we can keep reaching more people on our mission to bring mental health topics to your ears every week.
Thanks for being here with us. And don't forget to grow yourself. You gotta know yourself.